And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Prophecy is a big, big thing. You know, I'd like to say more. Of course, it is magnificent. It's incredible. It's promise. It's potential. Everything in the Holy Bible points to the coming again of Jesus Christ. In fact, to his first coming. And he himself said that he would return. And the whole Bible is geared toward that. Now, I've heard pastors say, well, the Bible tells you the history of Israel. It's the story of Israel. Well, Israel may be the story, maybe a subject, but it's God's dominion over Israel, which turns out to be his people. Whoever his people are, they are Israel. A lot of people don't understand that. And they look for a race or some kind of a blood or ethnic group to say, well, that's his people, his chosen. But in fact, his chosen are those whom God chose of all races and religions. And he brought them out of those false things, the idea that there's a superior race, the idea that there's another religion. He brought them out of all that to the true, only one religion, which is the worship of Jesus Christ. He brought them out of all nations, tongues, out of all the world, all the what we would call the bloods, I guess you might say. Actually, there's only one blood. Because the book of Acts says that God made one people out of all. So when you see a man, whatever he looks like, he can be fat or tall or skinny or short. He can be dark or he can be an albino or a black man or a Chinese. But God divines the heart. And we who know Jesus Christ, we were born, I suppose, in the mind of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega. We are told in the book of Revelation, the beginning and the end. And he conceived us before we were ever born. Now, that's fascinating for some people. They say, you mean before I ever came out of my mother's womb? Oh, yes, way before that. I mean, are you saying that maybe he knew me 100 years ago? Oh, he knew you from the beginning of time, thousands of years ago. You know, I've never been one to collect the years in the Bible, and I never wanted a chronology. So I can say, you know, the earth is so, you know, is exactly this old or that old. Some have done that, and some have done a pretty good job for it. And they'll tell you this earth was created so many years ago. And, you know, there's the arguments between the creationist and the people who believe in the Big Bang theory and everything. I've always, you know, it doesn't matter to me how old the earth is. But I know one thing, God tells the truth. And he says in his Bible, and if you can get down and figure out exactly, you know, to the month, to the nanosecond, that's fine with me. I'm not going to argue with you. But I know what is. I know what shall be. But before Jesus returns again, the Bible tells us we're going to go through a lot of stress and tribulation. A lot of horrible things are going to occur. When I was a little boy, sometimes I would listen to religious programs on the radio. We didn't have a TV. I'm sorry. We didn't have the internet back in those days. But we had radio, and it was pretty gripping, you know, radio. And every once in a while, I'd listen to a religious program, and they'd talk about the mark of the beast and the number 666 and the horrible, you know, the sea shall be turned to blood and all of these horrible things. The four horsemen of the apocalypse were coming, and Boy, I'd just be shaking in my little boots. Well, I didn't really have any boots, but I was shaking no matter what. I knew it to be true. All of those symbols of horrible things that were to occur, but there were great things to occur too, because Jesus was to return. And Revelation 20 says that his people are going to finally be the victors, the overcomers. I always liked that part. It's sort of like the cowboy movie, you know? No matter what happened to the cowboy, whether it was, you know, Gene Autry or Roy Rogers or Hopalong Cassidy or Lash LaRue, all of those heroes, no matter what happened to them, during the movie, by the end of the movie, they were going to turn out the good guys would win. And I knew it, and I was just waiting. The worst things that happened to them, I said, they're going to come back. They're going to get those bad boys. Bad Bart is going to pay for this. And he did. Well, we don't have those kind of movies anymore. But in any case, everything that the Bible says is occurring. And evil will have its day and is having its day. And we of the church who think we're going to overcome without Jesus, oh, we're greatly mistaken. There are people out there that say, we need to go out and win this world for Christ. I remember back in 1990, there were people who said, let's go out and win the world for Christ. And when he comes again, we'll just give it to him on a silver platter. We'll win it for him. And when he comes, here it is, Lord. Happy birthday. We've given you the whole world. No, the Bible says in Isaiah, it says that the good people of the world, I mean the good who are born again, who are of Israel, whatever their race, are going to get worn out. We're not going to be able to accomplish change in this world. There's going to be evil powers that seemingly will conquer us. Revelation 13 says that the beast shall make war against the saints and overcome them. Do you ever feel tired? Are you ever exhausted? Do you ever read the morning news and you're just so tired? And you say, oh my, evil is winning. Evil is overcoming good. And all these evil people are doing so many terrible things, and the Muslims are creating havoc and murdering Christians over in Iraq. And then, of course, our own big brother police force is gathering steam here in the United States. And we seem to be causing mischief and murder and mayhem everywhere. And there's no remedy for it because the people are not in charge. The elite are in charge. And they have a different philosophy. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. It seems that they're winning. But, you know, sometimes, friends, things are not what they seem. Back in those days of Gene Autry and Roy Rogers, it seemed that the bad guy had it all over. The good guys, until the end would come, and the bad guys would end up taken away. They would get their comeuppance. We are the overcomers, and of that we can be sure. Now, I want to talk to you today about a subject, about a religion that is more than a religion. It is, in fact, I don't know what to call it exactly, but it's a parasite on the world. I know that. I'm talking about Judaism. Now, a lot of you say, well, you're always complaining about Judaism texts. You always expose Judaism. You always warn. But look at Islam, how evil it is. There are a billion Muslims in the world. Why don't you talk about them? Well, actually, I have talked about them quite a bit. If you want several of my radio programs that I've talked about them, just phone us, 1-800-234-9673. I told you all about Islam, the beginnings of it, how it came in the world. I even have a whole program just talking about the Quran and the Hadith, the holy books of Islam. And then I had Brother Sunquist on, and he explained the differences between the Bible and what it teaches and what the Quran teaches in terms of Jesus Christ. They have another Jesus, another God, and I made it very clear that God's name is not Allah. I made it clear that Judaism and Islam are two evil forces in the world. In the last days, we're confronted with these two that are more evil than any other. But it seems that Judaism will have its sway. Judaism is throughout the world. It's intermixed in the world. And the Jews own both the capitalist system and their own little hoax and game. I mean, I'm afraid of Rothschild a lot more than I'm afraid of Ali Baghdadi. I mean, the United States and the Western powers can go in, capture, kill Baghdadi anytime we really want. It's a matter of will. But Rothschild, Lord Rothschild, seems to own everything. He owns the banks. He owns the oil resources. And they're little Rothschilds running around everywhere, it seems. As Prime Minister Mahathir of Malaysia said some years ago, the Jews rule the world through their proxy, the United States. Now, we need to develop an understanding of the Jewish religion. I once thought it was just the Old Testament. The Torah, the first, you know, books of the Old Testament. I believed to understand Judaism, all you had to do was just read the Old Testament. And to convert a Jew meant simply to tell them about Jesus Christ. They can add Jesus in the New Testament to their Old Testament, and there you have a good Christian. But it seems that we've never really conquered, we've never really helped the Jews to understand who their Messiah really is. I remember I was on a radio program in Houston, Texas. The host was a Jew, and they took about a five-minute break for the news and such, and they ended up in the bathroom, you know, standing. I'm not going to say, just whatever you do in a bathroom as a man. And he was straddling the next urinal over from me, this host. Very loquacious guy, if you know what loquacious means. He said, so you're a Christian. Well, I've been on the program 30 minutes. Evidently, that was like a summary, because I'd said a lot about Jesus during the first 30 minutes. By the way, I was on the program, I was debating a New Age pastor, and this guy was supposedly the neutral host. I said, yes, I am. He said, so you believe in Jesus as the Messiah? I said, I believe in Jesus, period. He's Messiah. He's the Lord. He said, well, I believe in the Messiah to come. Do you really? What is his name? I asked him. He said, well, it's not Jesus. I said, well, who is it? Well, we have a different concept. I'm a Jew. I said, yes, I can see that. He said, well, we have a different concept of the Messiah. I said, so the Messiah is not God, is he? He said, no, he's not God. I said, well, how do you feel being the Messiah? And he was shocked. I just blurted it out. How do you feel being the Messiah? He said, well, I'm not Messiah now, but we're going to become the Messiah. The Jewish people will become the Messiah. I said, I know your religion teaches that you're your own Messiah. Messiah for you is a collective. He said, we're going to have a Messiah, but he's just not going to be a Messiah like yours. That's about all time we had to speak about that. I wish I had more time with the man. But in that small time frame, in the bathroom, the man's room, of that radio station in Houston, Texas, he told me what 99.99% of Christians do not know. That they expect a Messiah, and it's them. They're going to become their own Messiah. Now, I had already discovered this through my investigations. In fact, when I discovered this, I was shocked. They seem so pious, the rabbis. Oh, they talk about God and the Lord, our God, is one. They criticize Christians for believing in three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, although we don't believe in that at all, because those three are one, the Bible says. Sure, there's God, Son, and Holy Spirit, but those three are one. I'm not going to debate that with you. It's exactly what the Bible says. Just accept the Bible and you'll have it. But the Jews say, oh, that you're a polygamist. You believe in three gods. A polygamist? Well, they mean that we have, you know, more than, you know, one God. We worship three. And they believe that their Messiah is going to come. He's going to be like King David, a man. Oh, he'll be blessed by God. He'll be led by God, but he will actually be a man. And that they, the Jews, will collectively be their own Messiah. And this man God will be just like them. They'll all be gods. He'll just be sort of led by God. Now, who is God? God seems to be a force. In fact, I spent many years, as you know, and had best-selling books on the New Age movement. Books with titles such as Dark Secrets of the New Age, Mystery Mark of the New Age, Ravaged by the New Age, New Age Cults and Religions. And in all of these books, I discovered that Jews were at the forefront of the New Age movement. I wondered why. How could the Jews be at the forefront? They didn't believe like the New Agers did. They, after all, the New Agers believed that man is his own God. They believe that man could reach a state of self-realization or godhood. They believed exactly what the Jews do. The New Age movement is Judaism. I've since discovered, of course, that when you properly understand the Talmud and you read it and you understand what the Jews are saying in their Kabbalah, which is a system of magic and witchcraft, totally related to the Talmud, the Babylonian Talmud, the book of law of the Jews. They're New Age movement. They're the chief New Age cult. And that's why all of their leaders have led all of these New Age cult groups. Show me a New Age cult group that's any size at all, and I'll show you that there's Jews involved in it somehow or other. They founded it. They sponsored it. They teach it. And I believe that some of the Jews themselves don't even understand. Judaism is a New Age movement. If you want to understand the New Age movement, understand Judaism. The Holy Kabbalah, the Kabbalah, is the root of all the New Age movement, all of its cults and false religions. Get my book, New Age Cults and Religions. It covers over 100 of the top New Age cults and religions in the whole world, and they're all practically run by Jews. Many times the Jews change their name, and take some Hindu-sounding name. They become, you know, his master, you know, Ram Dass or some nonsense. The language they use is found in the Kabbalah. I have discovered, if you want to know about the New Age movement, discover what the Kabbalah says. That's why Madonna and Britney Spears, and yes, Hillary and Bill Clinton have studied the Kabbalah. That's why they wear the little red wristband. They're students of the Kabbalah. Students of the New Age movement. They are their own gods. They're just like Shirley MacLaine, who sat, you know, cross-legged on a beach, held out her arms and told the rushing waves of the sea and the wind, I am God. The Jews, when they preach that there is a God, they believe it's them. Now, I know a lot of you think I'm just making this up. Well, Tex makes it. He doesn't like the Jews, so he's making it up. He says they're New Age. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know anything about the Jews. Folks, I'm 70 years old. I've spent much of my life studying these issues. I have been called the greatest New Age expert in the world. I've written book after book, number one best-selling books about the New Age movement. I certify to you that Judaism is New Age. In fact, Judaism is the ultimate New Age religion. It is the umbrella. It covers all the other religions. But the stupid New Age practitioner or believer often does not even know that they've been fed a bunch of Judaic nonsense. You know, I recently visited a Christian bookstore. I don't go to Christian bookstores much anymore. This is the first time in years I've been in a Christian bookstore. But Christian, it was not. Everywhere there were signs of Judaism, of a poisonous form of Judeo-Christianity. Christian bookstores have changed now. And when you go on the internet and you look for all of these Judaic things, you find out that there are Christians teaching them. And they have now mixed in all of these horrible Judaic things with the Christianity of the New Testament. I went on Jews for Jesus. That's the number one organization in the world. They say, we're Jews, but we believe in Jesus. And they had a big article there talking about the Kabbalah and how wonderful it was, how Christians should study the Kabbalah. That's what the Jews do, the Messianic Jews, they're called. They have led Christianity into the cesspool of evil. They are turning Christianity into Judaism. And it's just like the rabbis say, get my video entitled Thunder Over Zion, and you will see rabbis who say Christianity will be ended. It will be folded back into Judaism from whence it came. They say, we're not worried about Christianity. It will automatically be dissolved. As the people firmly understand Judaic principles and accept the Judaic religion, they will realize that they have been wrong about Jesus. They will accept our doctrines, and they will turn their Christianity into a form of Judaism, and they will no longer be Christians. They will be Jews. But of course, they will still be our servants, because Gentiles, if they are Gentiles, are destined by the Kabbalah and the Talmud to becoming our servants forever. Well, but it was especially interesting in these many books. I mean, there were books on the Talmud, on the Kabbalah, why we needed a Christian Talmud, and on the symbols of the Judaic faith and how they apply to Christianity. And I realized these people wannabe Jews. And I actually saw people coming into that Christian bookstore wearing around their necks the Jewish Star of David, so-called, the six-pointed star of evil, the hexagram of satanic culture. With its code 666, they were wearing it around their neck, claiming to be Christians. And they were going in a Christian bookstore and buying, obviously, Judaic books, wearing Satan's symbol of 666 around their neck. And these people believe they were Christians. And this is rampant today. I saw it when it began about 20 years ago at the Christian Booksellers Association in Atlanta, Georgia, the largest association of bookstores and booksellers and publishers in the world. There were, I don't know, maybe 10,000 people there. And I saw the beginnings of it. They had Judaic books spread out on their bookshelf tables. And they told me, this is the hot new thing. Judaism is exploding within Christianity. Well, boy, there were also books in the Christian bookstores warning about the Islamic Antichrist to come. The Caliph, who it is said will become our Antichrist 666. We're to fear Islam. It is the Muslims who we must fear. Now, folks, I mean, Islam is evil. But Jesus doesn't even mention the Muslims. Oh well, they weren't around back then. They didn't form up till about 600 A.D. That's 600 years after Jesus came. That's why God doesn't mention the Muslims or even refer to them in his book. And shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. God takes you all the way to the end of the world in his book. He has prophecies there about the last day's religion. It's deceits. It's apostasies. It's evil. And how it will make war on Christianity. And he doesn't one time refer to the Mosque of Omar or the Kaaba in Medina, the holy city. Doesn't have one thing to say about it. Evidently, God is not even worried about the Islamic Antichrist. He's not worried that you know about it. Not that God is worried anyway. He's got everything arranged, you see. He's only given you the Bible and prophecy so you'll understand that arrangement. So you'll see where you're headed. So you won't worry. You won't be fearful. Because I want to tell you something, friends. There is a list of great sins that will send you to hell in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Oh, there's murderers, adulterers. They're abominations to God. The abominable, their people are so, they're like horrid people. And there's a list of them in the Bible. You may not read the book of Revelation. Maybe you are one of those. I don't know. I think if you're listening to this program, you're probably not. Praise God. Maybe a few of you out there that need to repent of those horrible sins. But you know the sin that leads the whole pack? The sin that leads the whole pack, that God cannot stand, the sin that will, I mean, it will just drag you to hell. You don't want to be guilty of this sin. It is to be fearful. Are you afraid? Are you afraid of these last days? Are you afraid of what men can do to you? Are you fearful all the time? Are you worried? Are you just say, I just can't sleep at night. I'm so worried about these things. I don't know, Tex. You've got me all concerned now. I'm just, I'm not here to make you fearful. I'm not here to make you afraid. I'm here to enlighten you, to educate you, to help you. God has put me here to help you. God has said, Tex, you're going to help other people. First, God took the fear out of my heart. I don't have any fear of these people or their things. I believe what Jesus Christ said. He said, fear not he who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the body and take your soul to hell. Oh, fear God. That's it. I only fear God, and I know he is my wonderful friend. But if I begin to fear man, then I've got an aberration going on here. I've got a double-mindedness. I fear man and God. When you fear men, you're going to be misled. No, I don't fear any of these men. I don't fear what they can do. They cannot kill my soul. They cannot take me to hell. They can only harm the body. What is the body? It's here for a temporary time. I'm going to live forever. They can't take that away from me. They can't take it away from you. You're going to live forever. You're going to be an overcomer. It's fate. It's destiny. You've been chosen. You're the people of God. You're the real Israel of God. You're not the synagogue of Satan. The world, all of these Jews, they're the synagogue of Satan. That's why they are what they are. You are God's people. You've got the power of God in your very heart. You've got Jesus within, the hope of glory. We're going to talk more about this. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Jews' religion. The fact that the Jewish religion teaches the Jews are a divine species. We shall be our own Messiah. That's what they declare. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tex Mars and Power of Prophecy. Matrix of Gog. It's a new book we published by Dan Patrick. It's a great little book. I hope you'll get it and you'll read it. Matrix of Gog. It's about the Jews who are actually Khazars. You know, I may have a white body, I may sort of have sandy hair, but I guess if you check my DNA, you'd find out that I was mostly Scottish, but I was a little bit French, and I think there's even a little bit of Indian in my heritage somewhere or other. Might even be some Irish, I'm not quite sure. But what I do know is that I'm going to lay this body down. I mean, I'm going to leave it right here on earth, and I'm going to go on. I'm going to be given a new body. I'm born again. I'm already a member, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, I've written books to warn you and to tell you about these other religions. People say, Tex, how do you know so much? Well, I study. That's my whole life. That's what I'm into. You know, I have the equivalent of probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 PhDs. And all of my studies, you know, I have a master's degree from North Carolina State. I have a bachelor's from Park University in Kansas City, Missouri, graduated summa cum laude. But all of my instruction was nothing compared to what I've studied on my own. That's my greatest amount of learning. And the Holy Ghost led me in this investigation, in this research. And, you know, I've discovered so many things, but most of all, I've discovered how powerful the Bible is. I'm just so inspired when I read the Bible and I look at world history, true world history. Now, I've written books, and I want you to have those books because they're a compilation, a summary of some of the things I've discovered. I wish I could give my mind and give it to you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm smarter than you, because many of you out there, you can outdo me in so many things. My wife, she's sort of musically inclined, and she plays the piano and the organ and those things. I can't do any of that. I'm sort of jealous in a way. She's really good at those things, but I can't. Now, Jerry here, he's my radio man. He's also the web manager. He can do all that. I have to ask him. Now, Jerry, I'd like to put this on my web page. I'd like to offer this program, but I can't do it myself, but he can. There's something else I can't do. Sandra, here in my office, she takes my books and she develops covers. I give her ideas. We work together on that. I used to sort of give her ideas, but now I just let her have her head. She does better than me working with her. Okay, so she's a better designer than I am. Michelle's here in my office. She's our business administrator, and she can think to do things that I can't think to do because I'm so busy in this. Wanda's my vice president here, and she's all the time coming in with ideas saying, you know, we should do this or that, or why don't we do that? Okay. Just let me read. Leave me alone. Just put the food under the dungeon door. I'm busy right now. All these, and I get books and articles from people, and they send me all kinds of things that they've researched and discovered that I use. I'm helped, you see, by so many people who know more than me, who know, you probably do too. So many of you have written me and said, look, here's what I've learned, and I want you to know about it, Tex. Boy, you don't know how thankful I am. A lot of you get news items from your local newspapers and send to me. Or you tell me about some incident that happened, maybe at the police department. Maybe bad things have happened to you. Maybe good things have happened to you. Oh, I learned so much from the people out there too. But there is a certain thing that I have learned, just on my own. I'm sort of proud of it. I don't want to be too proud because God can whack me down anytime he wants. He can make 10 new Tex Marses, can't he? I don't have any doubt of that. So I always keep in mind my mortality, my human frailties. But he has given me a knowledge to know of Judaism and of the synagogue of Satan and its evil in the last days. And I put together books on this. First of all, is Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. It's like an encyclopedia of what the Jews have done for hundreds of years. Oh, you've got to have my Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You must have it. It's an essential book. Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. You'll know all about Rothschild. You'll know about the Six-Pointed Star, its originations and where it's coming from and where it's headed. You'll find out about the Jewish Kabbalah and how they worship many gods. Oh, many gods, many deities. how even Nixon and Agnew were forced out of office by the Jews. These are things we're not told by the press. So much. You'll find out that Truman was bribed to recognize the state of Israel in 1948. He was bribed, paid millions of dollars. I'll even give you the name of the Jewish spy who bribed him. The FBI has now released that documentation. All of this is in this book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. Then there's Matrix of Gog, the book that I started telling you about. It's by Daniel Patrick. Here's a man who studied this situation, studied of the Khazars. He knew of my book entitled DNA, Science, and the Jewish Bloodline. That's a book that I've authored that's really, it's causing a lot of controversy. Wonderful controversy. It's a great scientific book, and it stirred him up, boy. And Daniel Patrick says, now the Bible makes sense. You, Tex, wrote this book, and now the Bible makes sense. You see, God will always give people knowledge to help me and you so that we can investigate on our own. We're not left out in the void. I trusted the Bible. I was wondering about Gog and Magog. What is all of that about? Oh, my mind was just, I've been bothered for years wondering about it. And then I did my book, DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline, about Khazaria and the Jews and their bloodlines, and everything came just woof in a vision. There it is. Now I understand all about Gog and Magog. Wow. And Dan Patrick has written this book, Matrix of Gog. You'll need to get a copy. How much is that book? It's only about $15, isn't it? $18. Is $18 too much to discover such fantastic things? Well, we need to get the book printed, get the cover done, pay the author. There's all kinds of things we have to do in publishing this book. And by the way, let me tell you a little secret. We don't make any money off of selling you things. I always laugh at people who say you charge too much or you shouldn't charge at all, or I don't know what they're saying. I just laugh, and Juan and I just shake our heads, because actually, the only way we stay in business is your love gifts. That's about the only way. Oh, we sell things. We got to keep selling things. And you don't have to buy them. And nobody's going to press you to. Our newsletter, or the feature article, is every month in the online. You can go online, read it free. We don't, you can listen to our radio program free. But this book, these videos, these audio tapes, well, we have to produce them, but we don't make any money. Oh, well, but I love to do it. I Every cent we make goes back into the ministry. Now, again, the book's Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, that's $25. Add $5 shipping and handling. It's an encyclopedic-type book, and Matrix of Gog is a smaller book. It's about normal size. I say smaller. It's about average size. It's $18. Add $5 shipping and handling. Total $23. To order either one of these great books, by the way, you can order DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline as well, just by phoning us toll-free, 1-800-234-9673, 1-800-234-9673, or go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Hey, you can even use my name, texmars.com, T-E-X-E. Okay, so my mother and the midwife didn't know how to spell. They added an E at the end of text, but that's, I love it. I love to be, prove people wrong. How do you spell your name? T-E-X? No, it's T-E-X-E. Well, how did you get that? Well, I don't know. My mother only had third grade education. The midwife probably only had second grade. I don't know. But but it's been a great conversation piece. People try to get my goat sometime, and they try to, I don't know. I just love it. People out there, it's just, and people think that because you're a Christian, you're a little bit loony. You may be a little bit, spacey. And I just laugh about that. They're the ones that are spacey. If you have Jesus, you've got all the knowledge in the world. And it's growing every day. It's growing every day. Just make sure you're not led off into some kind of spiritual wasteland by these Judaic preachers or these New Age teachers. They'll lead you into it. when you order something from us, we put you on the mailing list. We'll send you a hard copy every month of our exciting newsletter. It is. I love this news. I love to send it out. And I look for the first day of the month on the calendar. I said, that's when everybody's going to get it, about that time. Some of you get it a few days before, some a few days after. But I just love it. I'm thinking, oh, they're reading it right now. I tell Wanda, my newsletter, you know, when I get it in the mail, I send it to myself. And I pretty well know when most people are getting it. I said, oh, they're reading this themselves. It's so good. I've got this message out. Yes, I just love it. I love my job. I love what God has done for me. I thank him so much. He's blessed me. He's blessed this ministry. He has put a hedge of protection around us. Oh, the devil would love to close us down. They audited 4 years. Had an tax audit. It was illegal. Everything they did was illegal. But hey, now we know. Now you can see what they do. But that was years ago. Am I afraid they're going to come audit the next year or this year? They may. So what? I'm going to keep plugging on. All right. Oh, the address. Oh, you got to have our address. The address, of course, is Power of Prophecy, or text Mars, 1708 Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. All right, let's return to our regular program. Hey, Jared, you see that squirrel? Squirrel, he runs out. He's gone now, but he was just running across that fence. Well, they can go fast. That little fence must be about half an inch thick, wood fence. And I just see these squirrels running back and forth. And of course, we have a cat, and the cat loves to chase the squirrels, and you know, it brings back birds to us, like, hey, I killed this bird. Aren't you happy? And of course, we're not happy at all. Poor little bird. But oh, well, if you've got a cat, you know what that means. Can't stop them. That's in their nature. Well, in a letter to his great friend Karl Marx, the Jewish financier Baruch Levi, in the late 1800s, wrote a letter and said, listen, as he said, the Jewish people as a whole will become its own Messiah. Thus will the promise of the Talmud be fulfilled. Thus will the promise of the Talmud be fulfilled. When the Jews become their own Messiah in the coming age, the coming Messianic age, they call it the age of utopia. The Jews call it Tikkun Olam. When the world will be repaired, will be mended. Everything will be made perfect because the Jews will meet their destiny, which is to become gods on earth. And the Jewish people as a whole becomes its own Messiah. Thus will the promise of the Talmud be fulfilled. You know, that leads me back to the book of Genesis. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, in the Jewish religion, they believe that the perfect man knows good and evil. Some people call it Sabbatean Judaism. Sabbatean Judaism. You see, it is not enough to know good. One must know evil. One must become like Adam and Eve. God has put you in the garden and all is good, but then comes Lucifer and entices you, deceives you. Well, actually, he doesn't deceive you. He just says, in the day that you eat this forbidden fruit, you'll become as a god. God knows that. He just failed to teach you. God wants to deceive you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Take a bite of that apple. Come on. Do what I say. You're going to become a god. You'll be just like God. This whole world will be so, you'll know so much more. You'll know between good and evil. You will have tasted evil, tasted the mystery of iniquity. Now, I'm paraphrasing the old devil, but I'm sure he said something like that. Read it for yourself, though. Don't say that text Mars is right or wrong. Go back to Genesis and read it for yourself. And the serpent said, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. But in fact, God said you will die. There are people who die to spiritual truth. There are people walking the world today, millions, billions, who are dead to truth. You know, there's Satanists out there that despise our Lord Jesus Christ. They found all these atheist groups, and they say, we have no God. But they worship the devil. Well, he's just, he represents the anti-God. Yes, he does. Now, the Jews would not be caught dead in a mosque, in an Islamic mosque. They believe that Islam is a false religion, but that Judaism is the only true religion. And the synagogue is theirs. That's their exclusive bailiwick. Their Messiah, not Jesus, the Jews' Messiah, will reign and teach in the synagogue. Now, let me, if you want to know the Jewish gods and goddesses, they present a chart. You can see the chart. I printed it in this month's newsletter. It's the tree of life, they call it. The circle of life. Oh, they believe in a circle of life. That's where that saying came from or comes from. You know, you've seen the movie The Lion King, the Disney King, The Circle of Life. Some people depict it as the serpent biting its own tail in a circle, like a huge encircled worm. Inside the serpent's body is the whole world. And first the serpent descends down. He descends down. Along the way, he meets up with all kinds of forces on him. In fact, God himself is a great force. You cannot know God. He is called Ein Sof, the eye, the all-seeing eye, Ein Sof. But the serpent represents God, and he leads the people, the Jews, on their way. First, they descend down into the pit of hell, the abyss. And the book of Revelation talks about the great pit of hell. It says down there, there are millions of devils. And one of them has a name called Abaddon. In the Greek tongue, in the Greek language, he's called by another name, but Abaddon is the best. Abaddon, the father of Dan. That's what that means, Abaddon, the father of Dan. Now, that's a little mystery in itself, isn't it? But there he is in the pit. And there the serpent is, and the serpent, the Jews call him Leviathan or Behemoth, the great serpent. He's not an evil serpent. He's a good servant. Who does he serve? The Jewish people. They're gods. They're just beginning to realize, to become conscious of their divinity. And the serpent will help them along the way. And also along the way in this tree of life, this circle, there are many deities and entities who help them. For example, at the bottom, when the serpent gets right to the bottom of the pit of the abyss, he encounters Malkut. Malkut, the great mother goddess. And in the middle of the circle, there is a god named as Hesod, or Yesod, which, believe it or not, has reference to the male penis. The phallus. The phallus. You see, this is a sex cult, a sex religion. And one of the gods is literally the phallus. That's why they worship the phallus. That's why they worship him in Egypt and in all of those ancient religions. Now, once he is plunged into the depths of the abyss, and the Jew knows evil because he practices and he becomes consummately evil. He's a horrible, terrible person. Then, only then can he begin to know good. And so the serpent begins to rise up out of the abyss. He begins to emerge. And he goes up, up, upward. And the Jew, in their consciousness, rises and rises until finally the serpent reaches the stage of crown or kether. From there, there's only a short step up to Ein Sof, the all-seeing eye, who is watching over all of this. There are many other deities as well. I could talk for an hour just on the many gods and goddesses of Judaism. In fact, I've done a whole audio tape on it. You may want to call and ask for that audio tape for $10 plus postage. Now, the serpent, or Leviathan, also known as Behemoth, because there are two versions of it. He has a male and a feminine version. Because, see, God is both male and female, according to the Jews. So having completed the cycle, the serpent of life, the Jew then becomes his own God. And this does not happen in heaven, but happens right here on earth. He will be born again into the life of the earthling, but among all the creatures, the Jew is chosen to be God. And Ein Sof, the unknowable, the ineffable, is God, but he is not a personal God. He is not a loving God. The Jew is his own Messiah, and the serpent is his guide. I have Jesus within this. Jesus Christ is my guide, my leader, but the Jew has a serpent, the great serpent, known as Leviathan. And some of you are saying, I think I've heard that word before, Leviathan. I think I read about that. It's in the Bible. Yes, it's in the book of Job. Yes, it is. It tells you about the serpent, the scales of the serpent. Only God can direct the serpent. And eventually he will destroy the serpent and his people. Now, Messiah will come, of course. In the New Age kingdom, the Jewish kingdom to be realized when they control the whole world, and they're in on that right now. I mean, they have never been so powerful. The Jewish lobby in America runs things, believe me. And Israel smashes and destroys the Palestinians, and the Christians cheer and wave and love it. They love the death of the Palestinians. Somebody told me, well, they're only defending themselves against what? Bottle rockets? That have no guidance system, no explosive power?
Well, they can kill too, a Christian pastor told me. I mean, those rockets, they can really hurt you.
Yes, and I understand that thousands of Palestinians died in this recent war in the Middle East. Thousands. And 30,000 were left homeless. Now, that's a conservative estimate. Thousands died. Many men, women, and children. Women and children. And yes, the bottle rockets that were arrayed against Israel, they did their damage too. Why? One Jew died the entire war from those rockets. But he didn't die from rockets. He died, they say, from a heart attack. He saw the explosions of the rockets in the distance, and he had a heart attack and died. I mean, where you live in your neighborhood, if the U.S. Army attacked you tomorrow, when you go try to defend yourself and they smash you with bombs, with missiles, with army tanks, and they say, we're sorry we had to kill all the people in your neighborhood, but you shouldn't have fought us. You should have just allowed us to be your masters. It's your fault. There's a famous French proverb. I don't know French, so I'm not going to give you the French, but basically it says, that dog is evil. Why? It gets mad when you stick it with a stick in the eye. When you stick it in the eye, it gets mad at you. That's an evil dog. Friend, don't go around sticking somebody in the eye with a stick. He will get mad at you. He will do whatever he can to fight back. Now, the Palestinians have no army. They have no way to fight back. They don't own one tank. They don't have one personnel carrier. They don't have one 50-caliber machine gun. They have rocks and bottle rockets. And with that, they battle the most technologically advanced army on earth. And they're slaughtered. And the Jews say, we're so moral, we had to kill them. We didn't want to, but we had to. Now, let me give you some examples of the rabbis who are teaching this nonsense. For example, there's a rabbi named Yitzhak Ginsburg. He's written a book, What You Need to Know About the Kabbalah. He points to the doctrine of an ancient rabbi named Baal Shem Tov, the most famous rabbinical authority, who taught of the imminent omnipresence of the Almighty, which says basically that all is all, and all is God, and God is all. God is in everything, you see, and thus the Jews are God. But of course, it's sort of like the book Animal Form by Orwell, which the pigs said, yes, all are equal, but the pigs are more equal than others. Now, according to Ginsburg, the Shekinah presence, a divine spark or energy force, you've heard of the force in the New Age, is found only in spiritually advanced Jews. The divine spark, you don't have it if you're a Gentile. You're not capable. You're a beast. I mean, God gave you a resemblance to a human being just so that you could serve the Jews so they wouldn't be repulsed at what you really look like. You're sort of like David Icke's serpent people, you know. You've got a reptilian face or whatever. You're a horrible person as a Gentile. But God has made you reasonably good-looking just so that you can serve the Jews. They don't have to be repulsed every day looking at their servants, the Gentiles. Now, if every Jew is a spark of divinity, then when you look at the aggregate, that's the combination of these sparks. The Messiah, it is said, and Ginsburg says, is made up of all of the divine sparks. It is the sanctified Jew. The sanctified Jew is a spark of divinity. And all the Jews together in the aggregate, in the combination, in the collective, are the Messiah. And they will usher in the Masonic age on earth, not heaven. Their heaven is earth. They want it right now, right here. That's why they own the banking. That's why they own the oil. That's why they're so concerned about the capitalist system. Whatever system works for them, Nazi, communist, capitalist, they will become. They'll use it. They believe they're going to become what is called the planet of God. That's a concept developed by Robert Mueller, former assistant chief of the United Nations. They will be an elite of super souls, conscious God-men. They will rule and reign. Kabbalah explains, according to Billy Phillips, teacher at KabbalahStudent.com, says that the new reality arrives when our planet will change its physical dimension. It will enlarge. The borders of the land of Israel will extend across the face of the entire earth. And the Messiah people will be the Jews. Only then will the global Messiah appear as a seal and not as a savior. They're going to save themselves. They're the Messiah. Their Messiah will be a seal. He won't be an individual. The Messiah, says Phillips, is a seal that confirms that we, the people, have achieved true transformation of our own nature. We turn the planet. And after this state of Messiah, the state, the condition of Messiah is achieved, there will be a 1,000 period, a millennium, according to Kabbalah. That's when the true super earth, Tikkun Olam, will be achieved. But you, a Gentile, if you do not accept the Jew, if you do not throw out Jesus Christ, denounce him, you will be beheaded. You'll be executed. That's why it says in the Kabbalah, the best of the Gentiles will be killed. As one Jew put it, the nations will be converted to Judaism and obey the law, or else they will be destroyed, and the Jews will be master of the world. And the serpent shall ascend to the crown. And the Jews will have achieved order out of chaos, ordo ab chao. Ah, yes. You heard that term before, haven't you? They must create chaos on earth so that they can triumph over it. Only then will order come out of the chaos. This is the profoundly intoxicating mystery of iniquity. My friends, this is a terrible revolt against God and his true kingdom. When you have rejected God, then you will believe you are your own God. Who else do you report to? Who can you answer to? Who guides you? Who tells you what is right and what is wrong? Why? Look in the mirror. It's yourself. You yourself become God. You become the deity. This is narcissistic garbage. It's wildly insane. Christian Zionists, listen to me. You have in one form or another. Don't deny it. Think about it very strongly. When you say the Jews only are God's chosen people, you are saying, I believe in the Jewish Tikkun Olam. I believe in the concept that Jews will be God. Now you say, no, I don't really believe that. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Christian Zionist. You're worshiping a religion of which you do not understand. You are driven insane by God. You need your right mind. You need to understand that God accepts every human being who will acknowledge and love him. If you have not the Father, you have not the Son. And likewise, accordingly, if you have not the Son, you do not have the Father. But we know who we worship. His name, Jesus Christ. The name above all names, the name Jesus Christ. My friends, listen each week during the same time. Listen in and discover the power of prophecy. Oh,